from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea with a rollicking song. He sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague,
brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour of the program, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.com. Good morning, YouTube. You guys are hot and feisty.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
It's a beautiful Football Friday. It's going to be a scorcher. My kids are not in school because it's too hot.
Just shut it down, huh? Don't even go in, not even in the morning, half day.
Yeah.
Just right out of the gate, 3-day weekend.
Saw
Let's go.
A lot of those. Saw a lot of school getting let out at noon, basically lunchtime.
I mean, it was hot as balls yesterday. I went out. I was going to grill some stuff yesterday, and I was outside for like 15 minutes, and I thought, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm going back inside.
Today, you're supposed to have your air conditioner around 80 degrees if it lives up to the 102 billing, and I'm just going to chance it. I'm not going to be an 80 degree.
We're gonna risk it to get the biscuit today.
We are.
And that biscuit is being comfortable.
73. Let's 73.
Let's keep it hovering. Nice, cool tone.
And anytime you get warm at 73, you walk out for 5 minutes and come back and you, 73.
PGE's sending me these text messages. Hey, you know, we really appreciate it if you dial back. It's like, I randomly lose power like 4 times
PGE
a year.
PGE is I'm getting texts to dial it back.
You know, if you please could, you know, a lot of effort on the grid. Like, about the 5 times a year I randomly lose power.
Yeah.
And it takes you 4 hours to turn it back on. And I don't get a discount on my bill for that. Now you want me to live in an 80-degree house? Not happening.
Hey, PG, I love you. We appreciate when you get our power back on. Why don't you send those notices to real corporations that are absolutely draining our power grid?
Yes, giant
it's
offices.
It's not my house that's like really, you
I
know.
Got a one-story house, man. I'm not screwing up the grid with my 70 degrees.
We have a lot to get to. We'll Sprague the line at 8:30 today. It's our first NFL college football week of Spragging the line. I still have a Spragging the line from last week lingering for tonight.
You do.
There's a weird kind of hang up there. I'm 1-1. Dirt went 0-3. Swag, what did you go? Did you go 3-0?
2-1.
2-1.
Arizona almost covered the big wood,
okay.
But defense was a little porous at times.
We'll get to some NFL Week 1 stuff. I don't mean to. We tend to throw point spreads and talk about like rough gambling losses. I so far have not commented that I had Justin Tucker on my fantasy team, and so when he missed that kick, I hated him. But I do kind of want to go through like a survivor pool. Like if you're just talking about week one games, I think you can make a real argument. This is a very hard week.
Week one's brutal.
Week one is brutal, and I came,
you picked one quick, and I'm like,
that was the only one where I'm like
opposite way.
Survivor pool. I go, they're not losing this game.
I think that so of one team, too, and then I talked to myself.
I love the confidence, man. I'm never confident in a survivor
I'm not
pick.
Either.
Because I was looking, I was like, oh, I can see.
It's
and
like
there, there was one game as like, no, the amount of things that would have to go wrong for this team to lose
I disagree
is
with
lengthy.
That. Wow. I disagree with you on that one. I have one that I think that, but also I've talked myself on the other side of it. It's just crap team against crap team, good team versus good team, and I don't know what to make of any of them. So we'll talk some week one. It is some college football this weekend.
Yes, it is.
This is the home of the Ducks.
That it is.
You will be on the pregame show, and you're going to have all kinds of stats and info that you will not share with us.
That's not going to happen.
Because the pregame show gets everything. But big game, Boise State, Oregon.
Yeah.
The line, to use Vegas as a reference, is moving in Oregon's favor. They are 21.5-point favorites. It opened at 18.5. Ashton Jaynty's coming in off 6 tutties in a monster game. He's, you know, at the forefront of the Heisman conversation.
Dude ran wild.
And Oregon was weird in week one against Idaho. It is Friday. Where are you at on tomorrow night's tilt in Eugene?
Yeah, I don't know if the Vegas trends are calming me down or making me more nervous. I'm stuck in between the two of them. I think the game opened 18.5, 19, somewhere in that range.
18.5 officially.
And it has been bet all the way up to 20. It's north of 3 touchdowns now. So a lot of money this week has come in on Oregon. And that is both reassuring that people think that, okay, it was an aberration and they're going to bounce back. Also alarming of like this many people are already jumping back on after they were ridiculed, rightfully so, for barely beating an FCS team on Saturday. I do think, look, last weekend was incredibly alarming, and your inability to run the football, the lack of push that you had up front, the lack of explosive plays, the penalties, the mental mistakes, there were too many red flags to even count from that game. I do think as the week has gone on, my pucker factor and fear factor has calmed a little bit. Now, I'm still in a slight panic mode, but I largely am for every Oregon game, and I will be for every Oregon game the rest of the year. Mm. Next weekend when they play bad teams. Like, it's just the way that I operate day in and day out.
Next weekend's game's fun.
You got a rivalry game next weekend. I have a hard time wrapping my head around. Like, Oregon might not be top of the echelon national championship good. Like, maybe they have a flaw here or a flaw there, or it is the offensive line, or it's Gabriel, whatever, that keeps them from winning a national championship. That's a different conversation than saying you're going to struggle week in and week out to inferior opponents. And I just have a really hard time squaring that we were all, not just myself, we were all that wrong on our evaluation of this roster and the talent on this roster. I think the first quarter is massive for them tomorrow to just calm everybody down, to show that they have the ability to run the football and to hit a big play or two. They didn't have a single run last week against Idaho that was longer than 20 yards. They only had a small number of completions that was longer than 20 yards. Almost zero explosive plays for that offense. It's inexcusable. And I have a hard time seeing with the talent on this roster, them go out and put that stinker up again.
So Lanning was on primetime yesterday, and you can find that interview at 1080thefan.com. He's on every Thursday at 4-ish. And he was asked kind of about, if you look at the stats and all of the numbers, looking at that score is weird.
Should have been a blowout based on the box score.
Well, that's a good easy takeaway, I think, for you and I and everybody else to have. I thought his answer, the thing that I like about Lanning, I don't root for Oregon, but what I like about Lanning is he doesn't seem like this old red-ass coach who's just chewing guys, like Brian Kelly, banging tables and blaming people.
Not good enough.
You're $11 million a year coach, man. Look in the mirror. I like the accountability he holds, and you know he was red-hot pissed, but still went in the press conference and didn't throw a single thing under the bus. And yesterday was basically asked, hey, the numbers say that you should have won that game by a wide margin. And I loved his answer. And the score is what the game was.
Yeah.
Like, point blank, yeah, sure, our stats were better. It was what it was. That's football. And I just like that. He you know, it's not like he's going to come out like, yeah, we should have won by 50. But I just love that he's like, no, the score was a score. That was the game. The game was the game. It's pretty simple, man. We don't need to get more complicated and to say, I think the biggest thing for Oregon this week, and aside from just winning, show you can run the football. And it's just really that cut and dry. If you can run the football and not have Noah Whittington averaging like 1.9 yards per carry and be, you know, above 2.9, I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Now, if your defense is going to get gashed by Ashton Jainty and Boise State, that'll be a different conversation. But that wasn't the problem last weekend.
No.
It was the push up front with the run game and primarily with one back in because Jordan James's averages were okay. Run the football. You talk about explosive plays. Yeah, have 15, 20-yard runs. Like, be the team that many thought you were going into the year. And show us if last week was just a weird, you know, there's message board stuff out there about were they sick, were they hungover? I don't know any of that. But that's a conclusion that you draw to when you see them play that poorly on the offensive line against that team.
I'm curious, for both your perspectives, does a quarterback need to be more of a threat to run, let alone run more?
He had some moments. They noted it on the broadcast late in that game where it was like he could have pulled that down and ran for 6 to 10 yards, but he like would throw a ball and it, you know, he didn't have very many incompletions, but he'd miss it. And I thought that was a good point. And that was something we talked about a little bit going into the year was Bo clearly had a thing with the coaching staff of last year. I'm not going to get hurt. Okay. I'll be great. And he was great. I'm wondering, given this is Dylan Gabriel's only year, is there a reluctance to want to run and get hit, or is that just maybe just game one and we're wondering, but he'll use his legs more?
Yeah, that to me is more the latter. Dylan Gabriel to me is not in that same line of I'm playing to be a first-round NFL draft pick. Bo Nix had that potential. Dylan Gabriel is a great college quarterback. I don't know what his skills are at the next level, and I think he's going to do whatever it takes to win this year. To me, that gets back to the conversation that you have in opening weeks of how much are you holding close to the vest and how much are you unveiling? And if I go into that game as an off, if I'm Will Stein playing Idaho, I am calling zero quarterback design runs. Zero. Because one, you shouldn't need him to win the game. Now it ended up being more uncomfortable than you wanted it to be. But I'm not going to risk getting my, $3 million transfer quarterback injured against an FCS team in the first week of the year because somebody lands on him weird because I called a zone read and he decided to pull it. Like, I'm not risking that. So I would be shocked if he does not run the football this weekend. The ones that you pointed to, and this is where I'd be fascinated to talk to him about it, he had opportunities where he moved up in the pocket and there were gaps. And those were his decisions to not run the football.
To throw him.
But I think this, to Swag's question, is there will be a big part of their offense, and it was at Oklahoma. The design quarterback runs will be a part of the Oregon offense this year. I just think that was a case of last, like, we're not unveiling that against Idaho. We shouldn't have to. And I think you'll see more of that as the season goes on. I'm also glad you brought up Noah Whittington, because when you dive deeper into the numbers, I've rewatched the game 3 times now. I'm a sicko. This is something to keep an eye on, though, because Jordan James did not have an dominant game, but he was fine. He averaged 5-6 yards a carry. He was fine. He was not the issue. He did get tackled by the turf monster too many times, he'll fix that. Noah Whittington is coming off of a devastating injury last year. And we just got done with this conversation about Mark Andrews in game 1 last night. Coming off a bad injury, how's he go? Game 1s are always a little weird for these guys. First game back, you're probably not 100% confident.
You don't want to take a hit.
I don't want to get hit. Am I going to hurt again? Can I cut this quick? Like, watching what he looks like in game 2, and if that problem lingers, and James is averaging 5, 6, 7 yards a carry, they bring in Whittington, he's a step slower, he's not cutting the way that he should, and it's 2 or 3 yards a carry. Oregon has a lot of depth behind him. Jaden Lamar is a guy that everybody's really high on and played a lot as a freshman last year. I don't believe he had a single carry in the game this past weekend. Does that become something that you pivot? And he ends up getting some of those number 2 carries behind Jordan James because Whittington just isn't there yet. I'm going to give him time. I'm rooting like hell for the kid, but he was not at 100% last week, and that cannot be something that you let linger all year.
We'll get to the Bs eventually. I got a couple little things I want to you pointed there, and I wanted to kind of carry over to the other side. Also, just noting, is Jordan James more of a workhorse than splitting up the reps evenly between him and another back? I think that's another interesting part of this. He had 95 yards at a 6.3-yard average on 15 carries. If Whittington is sitting with what you're saying, some uncomfortableness coming back from a massive injury,
I think it's just maybe confidence, too. Just not confident in the knee yet.
Is it fair to say Jordan James is a 20 to 25 carries a game back? We'll get into a little bit more of that. We'll get into the Beavs at the bottom of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, 7:20 a.m., bright and early. Happy Football Friday, everybody.
Hey, Otis, he loves us.
How the YouTubes doing? Are we doing good on YouTube?
Oh, everybody's yelling about stuff. Everybody's fired football season, man. People are fired up.
Are they watching at the Dexter Lake Club for us this
morning?
They
should be.
Yeah.
Well, if you mentioned something, we'll get to the Beavs. They got a big road game. Just curious to see what they look like. San Diego State came in. They're kind of a notable program in the Mountain West. They may not be the top Mountain West team by any stretch.
No, I think they struggled last year.
Nevada almost beat SMU. UNLV looked good, and Boise State has
expectations. UNLV beat Houston, right, in week one?
They didn't just beat them.
They blew them out?
Destroyed them.
It's a bit of an eye-opener for the Rebs.
Also, a little surprised to see Houston UNLV only had 172,000 viewers.
What channel was it on?
I don't know. Oh, I think it was FS1?
FS1 game.
But, like, I
what were they up against, though?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's Texas. I just think Texas.
That game got in my lost in my shuffle this weekend.
I kept following it, but I wasn't like. Anyways, my point is San Diego State may not be very good, but we had circled it because they have a decent stretch history here going in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that. So your Noah Whittington point, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Oregon, big game against Boise State, which is not something we thought we'd say, but here we are, right? Another fight against the Spuds. You slow down Ashton Gentry, all right. Offensively, running the football, could not do that very well, at least the caliber that you want, against Idaho. You mentioned Noah Whittington. If Noah Whittington is indeed going to take a few weeks to get back to his old form, or maybe it's a longer period than that, you mentioned a young player behind
him. Jaden Lamar.
Jaden Lamar, who didn't have a single carry last week. I'm kind of asking, Jaden Lamar may be brought up as they try to bring Noah Whittington back, but should you do that? Or is Jordan James, because when I look at Jordan James, I see a premier back. I thought that's what we would see.
Yeah.
I wasn't, I guess, mentally ready for the split carry thing. And so I'm more wondering, is Jordan James a 20-25 carry guy? He was given 15 last week, and he had damn near had 100 yards. Good average, bigger body, physical back. Turf Monster got him. But, like, is Jordan James to you a 20-25 carry guy, and maybe that's what you do as you try to bring Noah Whittington back?
I think, yes, he is capable of doing that, and I think he is the most underrated player easily on this team. I think Jordan James is a monster. Seeing his growth physically year in and year out, Anthony and I were down on the field before the game last week just joking about, like, Jesus, man, he is just massive, and how much bigger he's gotten is incredible. He had 19 touches for about 140 yards last week,
and
that was
remarkable.
Without one of his catches that was called back on an illegal formation because the right tackle was not lined up on the line of scrimmage. That then led to them missing the field goal. They would have had first and 10 at the 10. He had like a 25-yard catch all the way down to the 10-yard line that was overturned. He's dynamic catching the ball. He's dynamic running the ball. What their game plan is at that position is very interesting to me, because I am concerned about Noah Whittington not being 100% confident in his knee. He didn't have a carry of longer than 8 yards against Idaho.
Maybe he snaps it this week.
Maybe he does. Not all of that is on him. The offensive line by no means was dominant last week, but Jordan James averaged more than 4 yards per carry more than Noah Whittington did, and it was the same offensive line, so he was still able to run the ball somewhat efficiently. I think James has the ability to be that every down bell cow back. Oregon has always been a team, though, under Lanning, that has rotated very frequently, and they want to keep their guys fresh and they want to keep their guys healthy. And I think the carry workload last week would be more so, again, similar to the Gabriel front of like, dude, we're not giving Jordan James 30 carries against Idaho. Yes. Like, why would we wear and tear his body? 19 touches is enough, sure, and get him the hell out of there, because we're going to need him healthy in a month and 2 months and 3 months down the road. And I think the hope was Noah Whittington was ready. To me, it's something to keep an eye on. In bigger games, I do imagine James will get the bulk share of the carries, as he should, because that dude's a stud. Behind him is where it gets, that's a question mark. Is Lamar ready to take on that role? He played a lot as a freshman, but no carries in week one. He was on kickoff return, I believe, but I don't think they returned a single kickoff. So he's played a lot of football a year plus into his career in Eugene. Is he ready to fill that void? Does Whittington get the confidence and the health back to be that number two back? Because that is such an injury-prone position, similar to Whittington last year, that you're going to want to have another guy that you can rely on. I have zero questions about James. I just wonder who's ready to be number two, and can Whittington get back to that?
And as much as we question the offensive line and the push and the run game stuff from a week ago, I think the reason I keep coming back to the same thought or feeling of this game going in is because I saw a good defense. And I don't know if have we got an update on Bassa? I know
he is going to play.
He's going to play. Yeah.
That was we're playing Idaho.
Yeah.
Get him out of the game.
I kind of keep coming back to like, we'll see what Boise does. Maybe they can prove me wrong. I just don't know if Boise's going to be able to push them the way they push Georgia Southern for Ashton Jaynty. And if you take him away or slow him down, I just have a hard time seeing Boise having that kind of success. The defense wasn't the problem a week ago. It was probably more the solution than anything. And if offense can get somewhat right, I just keep coming back to the defense facing a team that's going to be so reliant on one player.
Yeah, and that's where I think I'm excited about the matchup, because this is going to be similar to what you see a lot of in the Big Ten. I mean, when you look across the Big Ten Conference right now, how many teams would you label as an explosive passing attack?
USC might, maybe Penn State, but USC.
Ohio State wants to be.
Wants to be.
They couldn't last week.
Their first half wasn't great, but maybe they get there. They got great wide receivers.
They do.
I'm not super high on Will Howard, but
Fickell
maybe they get there.
Fickell is trying to install that in Wisconsin, but not yet.
So by your definition, I would say so far for me, because Penn State prove it, Ohio State, let's see where you are a little bit, I would say USC.
Okay, and USC's not on Oregon's schedule this year. So when you're facing a team that is going to rely on their bell cow running back, this is what you're going to see a lot of in the Big Ten. Michigan's going to try and do this. Wisconsin's going to try and do this. Michigan State's going to try and run the football. Like, this is the bread and
Maryland
butter of that conference.
Maryland likes to sling it around.
They like to sling it around.
Is Tua's little brother still there?
No, he is not still there anymore.
No, he's not granted another year.
7 years of college was enough for him, and they booted him out.
Can I interrupt you, too, on that point? That was what all the jokes were last week, which actually lined up to be decent.
Oregon just wanted to be a Big Ten team?
Yeah, Oregon. Lost. They had to sacrifice some of their explosive offense to be a Big Ten team. Washington, how did they beat Weber State? They just ran Jonah Coleman
the ball
over the field. USC, suddenly they're physical and they can play defense. It was like the jokes kind of wrote themselves about the new Big Ten teams, and hey, welcome to this conference. We play a little ugly, but we play physical football.
It was kind of funny to watch a lot of Big Ten football in week one and them seemingly fitting right in. I think Oregon's defense is nasty, and I'm really excited to see what they do against maybe the best running back in the country, or one of the guys that's in that conversation. He had 6 touchdowns
in
week
one. He's a fun player, that's for sure.
He's a dominant back. And so if you can build that confidence defensively of like, all right, we bottled this guy up, we held him to 3.4 yards per carry, whatever the case may be, held him off the scoreboard for the most part, like, it's going to give you a lot of confidence going forward. And I think Oregon's defense is up to the task.
Oregon State goes on the road this weekend. They go to San Diego State. That's a CBS.
Snapdragon Stadium.
Is that the name of it?
That is, yeah. You guys getting your Snapdragon on this weekend?
Well,
it is a cool-looking stadium.
It's a great stadium. I thought you made a good point. Like, of all the road games this year for Beaver fan, if you invest in one road game, why would it not be San Diego? Yeah. 7 o'clock at night. with like 70 degree temperatures.
Exactly.
I mean, the only other
hanging out in the Gaslight District having fish tacos and margaritas.
Is there a pod race series going on? Because double dipping.
Yeah, I was going to say UNLV would be the only other one, but you get them at home. It's not in Vegas. That would be the only other trip that would compare.
I would. Yeah, UNLV's not bad because you go to Vegas, but I would also respond with, is UNLV got any fans of football note?
No, they play at the Raiders Stadium, and I think it's largely empty.
So, like, I mean, maybe see the Legion Stadium.
It's not
Stadium.
For, it's just to
Padres
go to
hosting the Giants this weekend.
Dude. NL West tilt. Padres are in the playoffs. So you get playoff baseball and the Beavs kicking some Aztec ass.
Look at that.
That's a nice little weekend maybe ahead of yourself.
A little parlay action, if you will. College football and Major League Baseball. You got to do them both.
We've got a lot of night games that we care about locally here. Let's talk about Oregon State going on the road into that. A little bit of the slate of college football. It's not as great a slate this weekend. And then we'll dive heavy in some NFL stuff. Week one's pretty good. Durden's break back with more.
All right, we'll get to the full slate of the college football weekend at some point. Not a great weekend, but some interesting games. A big one up in Ann Arbor. We got to get our NFL week one on. There is a game tonight, and we got a spring the line coming up in about an hour. So get your fake sponsors in to the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We just got done talking about my pucker factor, which is there, but is loosened ever so slightly as the week has gone on.
That's good to hear.
I wanted to update you guys on how my pucker's going. Pucker. You just want to be loose. You want to be nice, loosey-goosey down there. Where are my Beavs at? Where are you guys, and how tight are you down there?
Not very
tight. We're nice and loose?
Kind of getting overly confident.
Oh. Now, does that make you re-tighten or no? Okay.
No. Kind of doubling down on
it. No. We're getting even wider.
I just don't think San Diego State is very good. And reading a little bit about them, Sean Lewis is hoping to kind of revamp that thing into what it was a couple years ago, but I don't
After getting railroaded at Colorado last year?
he did get absolutely he got screwed in that. I just don't think that they're there. I think going into the year, they're an easier team to say in the Mountain West conversation because of what they've been, but I don't think they're that team this year upon digging into it a little bit. So weirdly kind of confident in Oregon State's ability defensively to slow them down. They had 6 points last or 3 points at the half and limit them offensively, and then their ability to run the football. I just think they should be able to do that, and so hold this for Monday. Going in weirdly confident in Oregon State's ability to win at San Diego State.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good matchup. I think the things Oregon State does well matches up well with San Diego State.
I mean, their offense is Marquez Cooper. He ran for 230 yards in the first game, and that's what they're going to try and do.
And so we saw, you know, San Diego State's still working on the passing game. Oregon State, it took them a while to figure out how to generate some pass rush. The biggest concern I had coming out of the first game was, are they going to be able to get there with four guys? Can they put pressure with just the front four? Or are they going to have to bring linebackers and safeties all the time, which is not going to be an issue down the road?
Die by the fire.
That's still an issue for me. I'm not going to take Idaho State and say they've solved that.
But not an issue for this week.
I don't think it's an issue for this week.
Right, because here's the thing. You talked about passing offense with Oregon opponents in the Big Ten. I would basically say if I knew San Diego State won because of the pass, I wouldn't be here telling you that I feel good. Yeah. That is still an area that I know Idaho State didn't win. I know after they took a 9-7 lead, the Beavs basically pulled away. I still don't know what Idaho State's coach was doing. We had a Hawkins on the sidelines, and he kept switching quarterbacks, and they didn't play their better quarterback.
Two Hawkins on the sidelines.
Too many Hawkins is what I would say. But I still am wondering if they're susceptible to good passing offense. But I know San Diego State doesn't have that. So because they're so dependent on Cooper, I think it just, it's just why it goes up into your matchup advantage. If they were a passing attack, I wouldn't be telling you that I'm feeling all this confident. But because of what they are, here I am thinking Oregon State could win by double digits.
Should be able to bow your back and slow down the run game. Their starting quarterback, San Diego State's Danny O'Neill is his name, not the one in Seattle. He is from Indianapolis, and he is a freshman. He's a true freshman quarterback. Last week was his first game. He was 22 of 33, 214, two TDs, no interception. So he protected the ball. He can run a little bit. He had about 20 rushing yards. He did have a 30-yard run in the game. So a guy that can extend plays a little bit, but I think there's a confidence of we're playing a true freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
We should be able to handle that well.
I think a Trent Bray playing Dante Moore last year when UCLA came to town, true freshman quarterback.
It went horrible for him.
Two pick sixes. Here you go. Get out of the game. Like, this is what Trent Bray and Keith Hayward They should be licking their chops at this opportunity. Yep. Blitz the hell out of this kid.
So the confidence is feeling good. We went over for Oregon. You know, you want to see him run the football a little bit better. I want to see him be, you know, explosive plays, all that kind of stuff. Are we okay with another week of just run? Is just whatever it takes to win? Do we want to see more? I thought McCoy was fine. They didn't ask him to do a lot. I like the one deep ball touchdown that he had.
10 passes,
he only threw his 9 of 10, so he's efficient. Give him credit for that. And the tutty was a nice ball.
I think that's
do we want to see more from him this week? Or just follow the game plan and win the game running the football?
I think let the game plan make them stop you from running and see what they're going to do and see if, okay, we got to walk up a safety. We got to bring, if the game plan then will dictate whether it's play action, whether it's quick slant, you know, whatever they're doing, make them stop the run or figure out how to load up against it and then see what that presents you for to take advantage in the passing game and do it that way. I don't need to see him throw it 25, 30 times. Well, if he throws it 20, great. Complete 14 of them. Let's go.
See, if he throws it 25 times, that tells me they slowed the run down a little bit, but they're doing the Dylan Gabriel run slash pass thing where they get Hankerson dump off screen and pick up chunk yards.
I think the reason I asked that question was because you should win this week. San Diego State's not very good. They're a touchdown favorite in this game.
Yeah.
The next two are big, and I think you want him to have confidence, and you want to have confidence in your passing game, whether you think you have a chance to win the Civil War or not. That is next week, and then the next week you got Purdue at home. I don't really know what to make of Purdue. They played nobody in week one, and they blew them out, so I don't know how good they are, but that the competition will upgrade the next 2 weeks, and there's an aspect of wanting him to have confidence and we could sling it around a little bit and be multidimensional.
Sometimes though you build confidence even without having to overextend yourself. So if he goes out there and he's, let's call it 10 for 14 or 11 for 13, he has something similar, but he's not asked to do a whole lot, he might go into those games. And now Oregon is a different animal and a different conversation. He might go though into those couple games and think, I can handle my part of this. They're not beating Oregon if they can't run the football. We can have all the talk about McCoy we want. If they're absolutely shut down from running the football, they will not beat Oregon. Not a chance in hell. And that's not necessarily a negative on him. It's just kind of a reality. This is his first year at this level. This is a step up from where he was. And then Oregon is a step up from that. So this week is not a mandate. If you can run the football successfully and win the same way you won last week, do it. If he throws 25 times, let's talk about what those 25 passes are, because I would venture to say it's going to be a little bit of they slowed the run game, but they extended it with dump-off passes, and that's why he threw 25 times.
Yeah, we're going to have to are we triple screening tomorrow night? How are we doing this? So you got Ducks kickoff at 7 on the Peacock. 7:30 is the Beavs on CBS Sports Network, and then you have the Cougs, also a 7 o'clock kickoff, Fox.
Yeah, so it'll start with Ducks on big screen, Cougs on iPad.
Okay.
And then I'm going to see what YouTube TV offers me with the Beavs and the Cougs.
You should be able to Beav and Coug dual screen.
And then I can put the Ducks on the iPad and have all my bases covered.
There you go.
Because having three games at once, you can certainly say, well, you missed this play. Yeah, I might miss a play. God bless the replay after every play. But also, the red zone's helped me navigate quad boxing, and
you know how to look back and forth.
I know how to look at everything.
You flip the audio back and forth too, which helps you focus on the game that's on. When one's in commercial,
I've determined the capacity is four games. Like, I can keep track, not like play for play, but keep track.
Very confidently keep
track
of four
games simultaneously and know which one. Okay, this is a key point. I'm gonna focus on this one for a minute.
That's a good question, a good poll question. How many games can you actively say you're keeping really good track of at one time? I think four is.
I think I'm at three. Maybe I just have I don't have the brain bandwidth that you guys
because
have.
I think I'm at three. Yeah,
one on the big screen and then two, like a dual screen on the iPad. That's probably what I'll do. Duck game, big screen.
Did you not do the quad? Cougs.
I mean, I do the quad. The quad comes up, but
YouTube TV opening weekend had some quad action.
I'm mainly a dual box guy.
Yeah, the one I would prefer is one big one with three, then three smaller ones below it. If you had the chance to do the dynamic screen there.
Heavy evening slate yesterday or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, they're all the local games.
Well, there's the big games in the morning, and then it's kind of
the dogfight between USC, Utah State, 8 o'clock kick on the Big Ten Network. Fuck.
And I'm not particularly hyped for Tennessee NC State, to be perfectly honest.
I got the 4:30 game, I think, tomorrow.
I'll turn it on. And
Yeah, 4:30 is also Colorado, Nebraska.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit next. So your thoughts are welcome on the Beavs. Are you with Sprague? Are you nice and loosey-goosey going into this one? 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. You can also get your fake sponsors in for Sprague in the line, which we will do coming up at 8:30. Let's get to the rest of the slate in college football this weekend. Excited, not excited? We'll dive back into the NFL coming up at the top of the hour. Back after this on the Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
The crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. I want to dive back into the NFL coming up at the top of the hour. We will Sprague the line coming up at 8:30, so get your fake sponsors in.
Are we going to dive into the Nuggets drama in the NBA talk today?
Yeah, I was actually going to do NBA for like the whole final hour. I just had it in my notes. It's ready to go.
I don't even know what the Nuggets drama
Mike
is.
Nobody Malone cares. Basically hates the front office.
Okay.
Calvin Booth.
Hey, is it December 26th right now? Okay, why don't you pipe down over there, all right?
Come on.
You mean October 22nd?
No, I mean
December 26th. Because it used to be the 25th. Now you don't get the 25th anymore. The NFL's commandeered the 25th.
I'm
the captain now, yeah. And you get the 26th. I'll give you that.
I'd argue you and most of America should start saying April. You guys,
MLK Day kind of, you know, I'll give you that. Football's winding down. MLK Day is not bad. Middle of the end of January.
Yep.
Poll question is up at the Dirt and Sprague account. Go follow it. We'll follow you back. Are you nice and loosey-goosey for the Beavs' chances to win in San Diego?
Cowards, all of you.
On Saturday, right now, early, very early returns. 73% of people saying no, not loosey-goosey.
Right in the butt.
One text at the Vancouver Ford text line. Beaver fan here. I did not have the overreaction that so many Beaver fans had this last weekend. Tomorrow's game will decide if last week was an overreaction or not. San Diego State is not a great team by any stretch, but a team that you should have to try a little harder to beat.
Agree.
And if Oregon State struggles with that, then we are in trouble. It's funny how our two fan bases are almost like Spider-Man memeing of like, we should win. I feel pretty good, but if we don't, we got issues.
Well, also, some people are panicking in the fan base.
And other
people
are like,
man, it's week one.
We didn't almost lose to Idaho, bro. Stop misquoting it. Like, it's just everybody's all over the map. One weekend, I love football season.
That's why I love it, too.
So, some people loosey-goosey, some people not. I think that's a really good way of putting it. You should win handily. If you don't, it'll raise other concerns. Can't wait to see how Oregon State looks tomorrow. If we were ranking the slate 1 out of 10 of the college football weekend, how many stars do we give it?
Two and a half.
It's
pretty crappy. This is a weekend that, like, you want to catch Texas, Michigan a little bit.
Early in the morning.
Yep.
I think one team's going to blow the other team out. See Sprague and Line coming up at 8:30.
Ooh, we're going hook. Ooh. We're hooking them today.
How do you know I'm hooking them?
I think you're hooking them today.
How do you know?
You're a hooker.
Maybe he's.
You're a definite
maybe
hooker.
Maybe he's driving I'm the show hoe. More.
The show. I'll be hooking. But outside of that, maybe Colorado, Nebraska for nostalgia, and then Prime losing to Matt Rule.
There are games I'm curious about.
Okay, what piques your interest?
Arkansas at Oklahoma State.
I looked at that, but Oklahoma State handled their business.
Did you see, though, what Talen Green did last week? Now,
yes.
Arkansas played literally nobody.
They didn't.
I know.
I think they set the college football record by scoring on their touchdowns on their first 10 drives of the season.
Yes.
And Talen Green, who was at Boise State, a great athlete, was running wild.
When he make his debut?
Oregon State game.
Oregon State game. Ran a long touchdown. I went, oh my God.
I'll never forget watching that game. That was the day Oregon lost 49-3 to Georgia, and I was sitting in my hotel room in Atlanta at like 1 o'clock in the morning like, oh, this is why people on the East Coast don't watch West Coast football.
Quick, what'd your wife ask you to do on Monday? I remember where I was when Talen Green ran a touchdown in against Oregon State 3 years ago.
You actually had me panic there for a moment. I was like, did she actually ask me to do something on Monday? What am I doing Monday?
Damn what is it. Wrong with
Damn
us?
Damn it, I didn't write it down on the calendar.
I don't remember my wife asked me on Tuesday, and you're over here. I remember where I was on a touchdown on a late night game.
Why do I remember that? Why am I, what's wrong with me?
What's wrong with us? This is not just you problem. This is a problem. It's everybody, man.
I have a problem. I remember I was laying in my hotel room, laying in bed, watching that game. It was like 2 o'clock because that was a night game, and I was in George East Coast time. And I'm like, this is so stupid. This is 2 o'clock in the morning.
I can't wait for your wife to cite what Teddy did like Sunday last week in 2 years. Remember he did the thing, and you go, No. And then somebody goes, hey, what was the name of that Idaho quarterback? Jack Lane broke his collarbone in second quarter.
Guy was a gamer, bro. He gave us a hard time in week one in 2024. I'll never forget that Idaho game. Man, that thing's burned into my memory for the rest of my existence.
I sometimes feel guilty as a dad. My daughter, like, remember, Dad, I told you? I'm like, no.
And then she'll send
me a clip of LeBron. I remember watching that game live. He had 27 points, 8 rebounds, 13 assists. They won in double overtime.
I'll never forget when Joey Cora stole third. I'm with you on that one. Arkansas and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's more than a tutty favorite, but just, you know, we'll see on that one. Any upset alert with Kansas State Tulane?
I did circle it, but
circled.
I don't know.
Okay.
The fighting Bill Snyder should be better.
I mean, it is one to identify because we are going to get a group of five team in the playoff. Tulane, I don't know a lot about them.
I'm just assuming
they're one of those candidates because they've been good the last couple of years. If they win that game against a raked opponent, they have to be the leader in the clubhouse, right, for the group of five team to make it?
Well,
unless Boise wins on Saturday night.
I do have one top 25, quote-unquote, top 25 team against a non, quote-unquote, unranked top 25 team.
That we're excited for. We have a game circled.
What's the name of the Iowa State-Iowa game again? Isn't El Asico?
What?
Excuse me?
What? Is it not?
I don't know.
El Osico?
What's the name?
I'm sure they have a trophy.
Name?
I don't know.
Awa.
Am I thinking of a different game?
What is it? Yeah, hold on. I'll
if
see.
The trophy doesn't have a cow and a stalk of corn on it, I don't know what's going on.
Maybe I had that wrong.
I think you had
the Cy-Hawk rivalry. I was it's way off.
There you go. The Cy-Hawk.
El Isico? Is that what you said?
That's not what I said.
I think that's what you said. Can we check the tape on that? That sounds like a hurricane coming through. El Isico?
Asico.
Asico?
Never mind.
Excuse me.
We're going to move on here.
Okay.
It's good. Right in the butt.
Act like that one didn't happen. I am excited for that game, though.
Oh, it is. I had this right. Spencer Hall. That's who I heard this from. Spencer Hall.
And now, why does he call it that? Is there like a deeper meaning to that? Is it an inside joke?
Now you're putting me on the spot. You guys just
speaking of which, by the way,
that game's interesting.
The Dirty Poll did not rank Iowa in the top 25 because they don't have an offense. Did you see what they did in the first half of that game last week against the Illinois State Redbirds?
Three passing touchdowns in the game.
They had 6 points at halftime, and they didn't score 21 until fourth quarter garbage time. They led Illinois State 6-0 last week at halftime.
You know what? They ended up putting, 40 points on the board?
They did end up putting 40 on the board. So I'll give them credit for that. So that game is one of them that we have circled.
You guys have never heard that term?
The El Isico rivalry. I'm very excited.
Asico
rivalry. Iowa State. Big fan of that game.
Okay, all right.
Colorado-Nebraska. Quick thoughts. Do you believe now? Or is this the moment that Nebraska football? Are we going to do to Texas-Nebraska thing? Are they back if they win this game?
They're not back if they win this game, but if they win it and win it in some emphatic fashion, then I think they're on notice.
I disagree with that. I what is back to you?
Relevant.
Yeah.
Not national championship, but like we're here. We're talked about.
They haven't been winning these games, these somewhat expectations. Hey, is Nebraska back? I think if they can beat Dion, even though I don't think Colorado's particularly great, they have a five-star guy who looks like a doppelganger from Mahomes.
He does.
Their defense is absolutely lights out. I didn't see very much out of the Big Ten that went, oh, man, a Nebraska team with good defense and maybe a competent quarterback can't compete. And I didn't see that. So
yeah, they're Iowa with a five-star quarterback.
8-4 with like some feisty games mixed in there and making a bowl game? Yeah, I think if they can beat Colorado, I think it rejuvenates that internal belief in the locker room that they can compete with other teams. Yeah.
He looked really good. Riola did in week one. They played UTEP. So, you know, like we do with everybody in week one, take it with a grain of salt. But he looked really good in week one. And that I am excited to keep an eye on that game. That is an NBC Peacock game as well. They are a touchdown favorite at home against Colorado.
By the way, from 2021, thank you. You questioned it. I came in with like Oracle energy of not believing myself.
You were very confident in your Asico rivalry.
And then you questioned it and you shot me down in confidence. 2021. They had 20 punts in that game, so now they call that rivalry El Asico.
Oh,
because it's ass.
It was such a bad game.
It's such a bad game.
I mean, I think it's going to stick. I'll run with you there.
So there you go.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Well.
Not a good college football slate, but we do get El Asico, and I'm very excited about that game. There you go. There's your weekend college football preview. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We will sprig the line coming up at 8:30. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Off of my title last year, I'm off to a rough start, so we'll see if I can bounce back. Let you know how everybody did last week. Let's get back a little bit into the NFL, including who do we like in Survivor picks? How do we feel about the week one slate? We'll dive into it next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.